Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
As we got down near World Series time, Bing Devine, who was the Cardinals general manager at that time, asked me if I would do him and the Cardinals in general a favor. And I said I would. And he said, we'd like to inject you with hepatitis. We need to bring an infielder up. And I said, will I be able to sit on the bench? He said, yes. We'll build a plastic cubicle for you because it is an infectious disease.
That's Bob Uecker in his Hall of Fame address, who now we learned actually right before the show started today at 10 o'clock that Bob Uecker has passed away at the age of 90. Long time Milwaukee Brewers broadcaster, played for the Cardinals for a couple of seasons, spent just a handful of seasons in baseball, really. I mentioned earlier, 297 games he played in the big leagues, and we lost him today at the age of 90. It is time for the Bernie Miklas Report, brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Bernie is with us every Tuesday and Thursday after the 11:30 news. Bernie, that's sad news we got today about Bob Uecker, who is one of the all-time great baseball personalities.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, I got to know Bob a little bit, and there were times where before he got older, where he, you know, frankly, just didn't want to be bothered too much with interviews, but he would come on my various radio shows, and I always really enjoyed talking to him. And after Red Chaney's died in particular, Uecker was, I spent an hour with him, and he was phenomenal talking about Red. You know, but the thing of it is, and yeah, it's a sad day because he's one of those guys you just assume he's going to be there. You know, he's lasted so long, he's endured so long, he overcame a terrible crisis in terms of his heart, where he had to have open heart surgery, and he was close to checking out. And yet he endured after that. So he just kept rolling along. But so what I tend to think of, or what I want to think of, is that how many of us, all of us, no matter what line of work we're in, where we grew up, whether we're whatever gender we are, it doesn't matter. Like, how many of us can say we were able to squeeze everything, every good thing that there is to be squeezed out of our time on Earth? This guy, you mentioned it, you know, he played 297 major league games and he batted 200. And from that, he became a great comedian. He was a regular on Johnny Carson as a kid. I used to watch that. I can't even tell you how many times he's won Johnny Carson. He would get Carson laughing and laughing and laughing. Bob Uecker became a star of movies. He became a star of he had a successful TV sitcom. He became a star in commercials. He became a terrific broadcaster, utterly beloved 100% in Milwaukee. And I don't know what else the man could have done in his 90 years. I mean, it's really, really, really wonderful.
It's really wonderful. Bernie, it's amazing because just outside of baseball, you mentioned the sitcom. I watched Mr. Belvedere. I loved it, you know, when I was a kid. And he has, I cannot think of another professional sports broadcaster who has a more iconic appearance in a movie than what he has. His people still quote, and maybe I've heard them a little bit too much in my life at this point, but people still quote and know exactly who it is when they quote the major league lines.
Right. You know, it's like, I don't know. I can't remember him either. I'm really about that. You know, and the famous Miller Lite commercials too. And you know, I must be sitting in the front row, you know, all that stuff. Or whatever that was. I screwed that up too, but no. And then, you know, I always love to watch the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. And you know, Bob Uecker gave the greatest Hall of Fame speech when he got inducted to the broadcaster side of things, because it was just vintage classic Bob Uecker. And it was just so, so funny. And he had all the other Hall of Famers laughing. And Bob Uecker, here's the thing. Here's a wonderful thing about him. He made people happy. He made people happy on so many platforms, we can't even remember them all. And he also, and I know people in our business will appreciate this, you know, Bob Uecker also treated, and I'm sure Matt Pauley can talk about this, who spent some time in Milwaukee. Bob Uecker treated all of the younger broadcasters that through the decades were by his side in the booth. He treated them like equals. He treated them like they were something special. He was an incredible mentor to those young broadcasters who were aspiring to have a career, a great career. So there's just, you know, and I can't even imagine or comprehend the amount of money, millions of dollars he's raised for charity during his time once he hit fame. And because of his huge popularity in Milwaukee, but also he had a national reach. I hate to say this, it's such a cliche. When you consider all the platforms where he became famous and became distinguished that we just talked about, I think Uecker, especially because he was a 200 hitter in the major leagues, I think Uecker truly was a one-of-a-kind personality. I can't think of anyone like him, really.
Bernie, I've just been thinking over the past couple of years and all of the Cardinal greats that we've lost relatively recently from, you know, Mike Shannon, Whitey Herzog, Lou Brock, Bob Gibson, and other, you know, stars like Bob Uecker.
Red.
And yes, Red Shandy's. Oh my gosh, so many. And the thing is, when I grew up, when Ronge grew up, you know, these guys were still alive. So even though they were retired, they were a huge part of our lives in the sense of sports figures that were, I knew them as well, if not better than whatever current team was playing. They were always there. I knew of Bob Uecker. As we lose these names, is this the moment where it starts to shift? Not that they will ever be forgotten, but I'm wondering, like, will younger generations look at other ballplayers the same way we looked at Bob Gibson and Lou Brock, or will younger generations still see these guys the way we do?
It's a tough thing to answer. I'm not sure. I think that, you know, the generations change. You know, unfortunately, the baseball players that we have loved and you know, idolized for decades, all those Cardinals players you mentioned and more. I don't know that any franchise other than maybe the Yankees has ever had more illustrious stars, but the Cardinals also had illustrious stars that were a huge part of the community. It wasn't that they just popped in on, you know, for old timers or whatever. I mean, they were on the scene constantly. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that made Cardinals baseball special. So I'll be honest. Oh, there will be new heroes coming down. There will be new stars. The Cardinals, you know, will have future Hall of Famers. They're going to have two in Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina. So they'll sort of, the best that they can, they'll fill that void that has been created through the passing of so many great Cardinals. But I don't know that it's even possible to replicate the power, mm-hmm, of the love and just the presence and just the prestige of this incredible group of Cardinals Hall of Famers that were part of the St. Louis community for decades and decades and decades.
Bernie, moving to the Cardinals now, who have their winter warm-up this weekend. The Cardinals caravan starts tomorrow. So this is really that first move towards spring training and then the regular season. So we're within a month of spring training starting. Yesterday they had the international signings. All the teams announced their signings. And these are, you know, 16, 17-year-old players who won't make their way to the big leagues for a while. But as you look at the state of the organization right now, where they are going into winter warm-up, how are you feeling about where they are?
It's a really odd time. It's the strangest offseason personally have gone through in terms of Cardinals baseball since I moved here in 1985 and since I began doing shows and writing columns here since 1989, because it's an off season where nothing has happened. At the very beginning of the off season, you know, they made it clear that, you know, they would not have a new contract for Paul Goldschmidt. They did not pick up the options they had for next season on Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn. They're trying to trade Nolan Arenado, except they haven't yet. But the Cardinals haven't added any players. They haven't made any trades that would upgrade the team for 2025. They haven't signed anyone of note. Well, they haven't signed anyone to a major league contract. I'm sure they'll do some of that, but it's not going to be at a high level. And they haven't, for a team that's sort of going into a reset, I prefer to call it a soft rebuild. You know, they haven't cashed in their assets. In other words, that's one thing they could have done, or they still can do, you know, by, you know, there's a lot of value for Eric Fetty. There's a lot of value for Ryan Helsley, because both of these guys will be free agents after next season. But they haven't done that yet either. And I don't know that they will in Helsley's case. So there's basically been no action, like nothing has happened. And I'm excited that they're getting around to doing what is overdue, long overdue, which was doing what they can to revive what had been kind of a rickety player development minor league system, where their players, their young players, weren't getting the teaching and instruction and just general preparation for the big leagues the way former Cardinals prospects of generations past used to get. And I think this is something that's really, really important to the future of the Cardinals. But as we sit here today on January the 16th, I just kind of shrug. And it's just like, well, is anything going to happen? Are you going to do anything? Are you going to get stuck with Arenado? I mean, it's just bizarre. And I guess I expected it. I mean, but maybe not to this level where, you know, there's just been total inaction, basically.
Yeah, I heard that from multiple camps, and sometimes people that you aren't expecting to hear that criticism from, but people are waiting for something to happen. Hey, Bernie, it is the most wonderful time of the year, and we've got NFL football Saturday and Sunday. What are you expecting from this Chiefs game? As we mentioned, it's Patrick Mahomes hasn't played since Christmas Day.
I think that, well, there's two things. I think with normal, kind of normal situations, you know, the rust factor can be bad for the team that has the rust. But Andy Reid has been so incredible. I don't have the numbers in front of me. He has a remarkable record in games that are played after his teams have been off, whether it be a bye week, whether it be a 2-week gap, whatever it may be. That's extra time for him to prepare for the opponent, and nobody does it better. You just look at Kansas City's record since Mahomes became the starter in 2018. And it's hard. They seem to be getting better, much better late in the season. It's just hard for me to believe that Houston can come in and beat them, although there was a playoff game where Houston actually opened a pretty big lead over the Chiefs. I'm not saying the Chiefs are going to roll and it's going to be a rout, but I think the Chiefs are starting to find it. You know, they were starting to just sort of get the groove back. And the other thing that I think really needs to be, you know, really needs to be kind of stressed in this game in particular, Steve Spagnuolo, the great defensive coordinator, this is the first time all season he will have had his top 18 defensive players suited up, because they were really tore up by injuries this year. But now everyone's back practicing and ready to go. And from a football standpoint, he's going to have both of his starting cornerbacks that are so great on the outside. That's going to give them the opportunity to play a lot of man-to-man coverage, which means blitz, 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 blitz. And no, there's not a defensive coordinator in the league who draws up more devious blitz packages to get after the opposing team's quarterback. So I think the Chiefs are in good shape this weekend. I really do. The game that I really, really grabs my attention the most is Baltimore at Buffalo. The Ravens are a 1.5-point favorite, and Buffalo is a hell of a team, but the Ravens have peaked at the right time. I would take them to win, not because I grew up in Baltimore and I have friends and family that love the Ravens. It's simply because Buffalo's number one weakness this season, which, by the way, the Ravens exploited big time during the regular season, Buffalo is weak at stopping the run. And the Ravens not only have a powerhouse running back in Derrick Henry, they also have the best quarterback in football who can make a defense pay with his ability to run the football. And I'm talking about Lamar Jackson.
All right, last thing, Bernie, before we let you go, we'll ask you about the national championship game, which will happen before we talk again. So Monday night, it will be Notre Dame, Ohio State for the title. And then when you're done talking about that, tell us about our good friends at Saliga.
This is a bad answer. I'm still trying to make up my mind on that game.
Oh, okay.
I think Ohio State's got more overall talent, but you know, it's interesting. Once Ohio State, they rolled in those two playoff wins over Tennessee and Oregon. And it's interesting how the Texas offense was able to score 21 points on their defense. And we did see the Ohio State offense struggle more than they had. My point is, I'm giving Notre Dame more of a chance to win this than I would have said, say, 2 weeks ago. And there's something about the Fighting Irish that, you know, you really can't quantify with statistics. There's something special about them. I'm leaning Notre Dame, but I reserve the right to change my mind because I'm always looking for information. So there you go.
We'll take that. Yeah.